I'd like to formally welcome everyone to today's audio conference workshop. It's entitled Understanding and Responding to the Needs of International Women, Wives, and Mothers. We're delighted that it will be led by Cindy Sutter-Tikal, a social services consultant with the Salvation Army, and her work is in San Francisco, California. Cindy's audio conference will examine the complex lives of immigrant women in our communities and how to support them as they integrate into the fabric of American life and culture. Participants will discuss managing a culturally and religiously diverse group from a Christian perspective, including issues like parenting and marital values in other cultures, and the use of a cultural gram as an assessment tool. The lives of diverse women will be introduced through case scenarios and a model of program offering. Parenting and family support, as well as a resource lending library, will be shared. This workshop will also examine the use of the NASW Continuum of Cultural Competence. Before we begin our sessions, let me just quickly cover a few quick housekeeping items that might be useful to you. First of all, for part of today's session, we'll be using a muting function to eliminate background noise, things like barking dogs and crying babies that are all very much part of life, but make it hard when there's a large number of callers together to hear the presenter. So we'll mute out for part of the session, but then also have live mode so that there can be question and answer and folks can raise comments, raise questions. But just be aware that when we go into live mode, that anything going on in your home or office can be heard by all the other participants. So do your best to keep, especially the embarrassing noises, to the dull roar. Secondly, just a reminder that today's call is going to be recorded for folks who are interested in this session but couldn't participate in the call itself. But again, just to let you know that we will be part of a live recording. Thirdly, if at all possible, it'll be helpful for you to access the PowerPoint presentation that we provided for you when you registered for the audio conference. If for some reason you haven't been able to access it, please just shoot me an email right now to rick@nacsw.org, and I'll be glad to send you a copy as an email attachment so that you'll have access to it. And then lastly, during questions and answer periods, just a reminder to keep your questions and comments crisp and to the point so that we can keep the session moving and cover all the ground that Cindy has planned for us. So that's the housekeeping. Without any further ado, I'm delighted to present our speaker, Cindy Sutter-Tikal. It's all yours, Cindy.
Thank you, Rick, and good morning, and welcome to everyone. I wanted to take a few minutes with the line open right from the beginning just to have you briefly introduce yourself and your experience working with international women and your particular practice interest as it relates to international women. So I know that I don't know how many people for sure we have on the line, but it sounded like about 10 or so. So if you could just briefly do that for me, and I'm kind of making note of that so I can try to draw you in and keep this as interactive as possible as we go through our time this morning. So would maybe Carl, would you start for us?
Carl Holland. I'm Professor Emeritus of Social Work at Illinois State University, and I've done training of students and others in about 10 different nations on 4 continents. And my experience with international women is locating housing and education and social health and all that stuff for an international family that came to our community, and our church assisted in that process.
Great. Thank you so much. Anyone can be next.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
This is Mary Beth Swanson, Salvation Army Family Community Services, and we have about 5 of staff members here. And I think all of us have had a range of direct and indirect work with women from international backgrounds, primarily Hispanic or Latin American backgrounds.
Thanks so much, Mary Beth.
I was Kathy McFadden in Texas. I work with hospice and also with a children's therapy, physical therapy agency, quite a bit of experience with mothers from Mexico in helping with resources.
Thank you, Patsy.
My name is Sue Spreider, and I work for the Salvation Army at our headquarters in Chicago, and I'm joined by several people from our office. I've had some experience working with Hmong women when I worked in Minnesota, and now I'm involved in evaluating programs where we do serve international women.
Excellent. Thank you.
This is Sarah Weersma from Holland, Michigan. I work with Bethany Christian Services doing family preservation work for at-risk families through Child Protective Services. So all of my involvement with international women is in their parenting role, making sure that their children are safe.
Thank you.
This is April Bowman in Northern Virginia, and actually I lived in southern Mexico for many years, so worked a lot with Mexican nationals there. And then here in Northern Virginia, it is the biggest melting pot I've ever experienced in terms of families from all over the world. So,
excellent. Thanks.
Hey, Cindy. It's Erin Knowles from Salvation Army in Chicago. And I'm here with my coworker, Elise Stahlberg. We work with victims of human trafficking here in the Chicagoland area from many, many different countries.
Thank you.
Lutheran Social Services in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and we would work with women through counseling, pregnancy services, adoption, case management, and early learning center.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm
Jennifer.
I'm Jennifer Scarrow, and I'm a Baylor School of Social Work student in Texas. I've worked with international populations before, but never in a social work setting, and I'm trying to learn more about that before I start my internship in the spring working with Latino immigrants.
Great. Thanks, Jennifer.
I'm Stacia Hooksema, and I am an adjunct professor at Calvin College. I also work in the emergency room at a local hospital in Grand Rapids, and do hospice work, so I run into international women in all those roles. And also, our church has been working with a family from Burundi recently that is living on my street, so that's probably my most direct contact right now.
Thanks, Stacia.
I'm Beth Amucherera. I'm an immigrant woman myself in the United States with three children. I've been here for 20 years. I'm a PhD social work student, and I have experience working with women on a personal level in different states of the United States who are coming in from mostly Africa.
Very good. Thank you so much. Have we missed anybody?
Me. Hi, Cindy. It's Sylvia from
hey,
Baltimore.
Sylvia.
Hi. Hi, everybody.
I used to work at Johns Hopkins Hospital and had lots of opportunities to work with international women and families there, but I am currently not in social work. I am working part-time at my local church, which is not quite as international as the hospital was, but I still have opportunities to meet people from different cultures, so I'm very interested in today's topic.
Great. Nice to hear your voice, Sylvia.
Thank you.
Okay, anyone else? No? Okay, Rick, I think I'll go ahead and start. I'm not sure about this whole muting thing. I'm not used to muting people, so I'm going to let Rick handle that. Okay, I just want to do a quick review of the objectives for us this morning and then talk about how our time is going to flow. And regularly, probably more regularly than 15 minutes, I'll stop and give you an opportunity for input. We certainly have many people on the line with lots of experience who can contribute, and I think the connecting that you can do together will also be very valuable. The objectives for today are to look at a model of a parenting resource center that worked with a very diverse group of women in multiple settings, and to talk about that parent family life education program and adoptions that were made, and that sounds particularly relevant for a few of you, but we'll keep it fairly brief as it's just going to serve as a model, and for many of you, that's not what drew you to this call. And then we're going to talk and take from that experience kind of some guidelines for managing a culturally diverse group, keys to planning culturally appropriate programs, and then we'll hopefully have a discussion around issues facing women in immigration, marriage, and parenting. We're going to talk about the cultural gram as a tool and hopefully apply that to a few case scenarios. and then conclude by walking through the NASW Standards of Cultural Competence and doing some planning for ourselves and talking about how we might be more accountable to those standards and make a plan for ourselves professionally as we continue on in our work with women from other cultures. So those are our objectives for this morning. And for Jennifer, who's there in Waco, these agencies that I'm going to talk about may sound very familiar to her, as my work that I did with the Parenting Resource Center took place in Waco, Texas, while on faculty with Baylor University. So I'm going to describe for you First Place, which was a Parenting Resource Center that was a grant-funded program associated with Baylor University. And there were four components to that program, which I'll describe briefly in a minute. And first, I want to just tell you kind of how the program worked, and then I'll talk about the four different components. The Parenting Resource Center was housed in the Family and Consumer Sciences, basically child care center. And we used that as a home base, and then it was a mobile parenting resource center. So we didn't actually exist for the purpose of serving the children who were housed in the Baylor University's Child Development Center, but we just used that as basically a resource. And then we were meant to be mobile and to serve agencies in the community. And so we served anywhere from 6 to 8 partner agencies where we took our services to them and to their clients, sometimes on a weekly basis, sometimes twice a week, sometimes every other week, and sometimes monthly. It just varied depending on our relationship and our memorandum of understanding with each of the agencies that we served. We served primarily in one agency Hispanic parents, and in that case it was often fathers and mothers, but mostly mothers, who were learning English. And they were doing that in a junior high setting in the evenings. And then we integrated parenting education and some of our other resources into that existing program. Another program that we served new immigrant parents from Mexico and Central America, all women, and they had young children under 5. Another program that we partnered with was called Neighbors International, and that was a ministry that was part of a large Baptist church where on a weekly basis they brought in sometimes a couple hundred women from over 50 countries who were offered about 30 different classes, everything ranging from driver's education to nutrition, painting, English, just a wide variety of topics. We also serve the junior high and the high school, young parenting mothers who are of either junior high age or high school age. And lastly, we serve Talitha Kum, which was an organization that worked in a low-income neighborhood serving predominantly African-American women and their children in a therapeutic daycare center, and that was faith-based. And also we would bring our services there to the Piper Child Development Center at Baylor. The four main components of our program that we brought to those different partners included a lending library, which included parenting information, audiovisual, and printed, as well as children's books that were related to parenting topics or issues that young children face from 0 to 5. We also had parent-child activities where we brought together parents and their children under 5, and we had a play theme, and so we did a lot of around play. We interacted with the museum at the university, bringing families and their children there. We also did a lot with music, which I'll talk more about later, and we hosted play groups. So the parent-child activities served additionally, I would say, as parent support or parent support groups as they developed. Our third resource or component was parenting classes, where we used specific curriculum, and again, it varied. Sometimes we wrote our own curriculum. Sometimes we adapted curriculum. We wrote a playful parenting curriculum, which we used in a number of locations, and then we used MOPS curriculum, which is a faith-based curriculum in some of our locations. And in other locations, we just supported curriculum that they already had in place and used our curriculum to kind of supplement what they were doing. And the last component of the program was information and referral. So for all of those partner agencies where we served, we would help support what they were doing in the case management and other work that they were doing with women and their young children, and refer them to other resources and help that we might have known about that they weren't connected to. So again, the review of the four components were a lending library, parent-child activities, parenting classes, and information and referral. I should say, because of the diverse agencies that we served and their diverse clients, we had to really work hard at making our lending library very multilingual. Everything from labeling to the themes that we chose to the books that we purchased. We had to do a lot of research to find things that were appropriate so that we could have things available for all of our parents and their families. We had to work hard at working with the museum to make it available and really accessible for non-English speakers. At the time that we started, they had nothing labeled appropriate for families who did not speak English as a primary language. Even with all of our Spanish-speaking families, there wasn't somebody there who could do a tour or really work with people in Spanish, either a group or individual visitors who came through the museum. So we did a lot to meet with the museum staff and administrators as well when we brought in families who had children with a variety of disabilities to do parent-child activities. We had to really work at adapting different displays, exhibits, activities. Kinder music, which was something that we really wanted to use as a part of our program, also had never been done for Hispanic or Spanish-speaking groups or families, and we were fortunate to have a retired missionary who was willing to convert and adapt the curriculum for us to make it appropriate for Spanish-speaking families, and it was probably one of our most popular parent-child activities with our agencies that serve Spanish-speaking families, including Avance and LEAF, where we were really able to use music effectively to do parent education and parent support, as well as the parent-child activities. The parenting classes, I would say all of the curriculum that we used, it was very challenging, and it depended on the leader's skill level and ability to make adaptions in the planning stage as well as when we actually went through our parenting classes. Some of our parenting classes, for example, with Neighbors International, usually every single person was from a different cultural background, and we had many languages represented as well. And so it was just a setting that took a lot of patience and really skill to make it appropriate and relevant and helpful to all the mothers that we had as a part of those parenting classes. I think before we move into the keys that kind of helped us to plan and keep that culturally appropriate, I'll see if anybody has a question about the Parenting Resource Center and about the way it was set up or the services that were offered. Any questions from any of you about the Parenting Resource Center, either the four components and how they were offered or the way it was organized to be a mobile resource center? Anybody?
Hey, Cindy, it's Sylvia.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a little easy question. When you said that you had to really work hard to get multi-language materials for your library, can you talk just a little bit about where you found some things in other languages? I know about the missionary who did some translation. Any other places?
Sure. When we were searching for materials in other languages, most of our research we did online, but we also went just physically shopping in many different bookstores where we had to meet with staff to say, take us to your, you know, Spanish section, walk us through the titles that you have here. Do you have a staff who speaks Spanish? Can they tell us what these books are? tell us what they're about, meeting with faculty and staff from the university who spoke different languages, asking them for recommendations, places to look online, talking to Korean parents in the group and saying, where do you purchase your books online?
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us about titles that you get? So I think between internet and actually traveling in Texas to Dallas, Austin, different larger cities, doing the research, calling around all the bookstores, saying who carries the most titles in a foreign language, going and actually meeting with staff at the bookstore, getting recommendations, finding out about what books